Apparently I'm all staticky. Good morning. I got you to come find a seat if you're out in the lobby still. Welcome here. Whether you've come from far or near, may you find the peace you're in need of through our worship together today. I'd like to start before we start, I want to go through the announcements. Our bulletins are full of events that are an important part of the life of our church. Make sure you give them a read and find out what's happening that might pertain to you. I want to highlight two things. Next Saturday, March 18th, is our annual spring shmorg from 5 to 7 p.m. Please check, Adina, are the sign-up sheets up still? Okay, check the sign-up sheets or talk to Adina. Find out how you can help, and we will look forward to seeing you there. And then choir rehearsals began this morning. And we'll continue every Sunday except for next week until the Easter season. Please join me in the call to worship you can find printed on the insert in your bulletin. Mindful that God, the great mystery, has called us. We gather to worship. Curious about God's way in the world, we gather to worship. Wondering in the face of uncertainty, we gather to worship. Receive our worship and our wonderings, O God, as we seek after you.
Good morning, everyone. I know most of you, I'm sure most of you know me. I'm Rachel Titterton, Chris Titterton's wife. This is my friend Mark Holmesacourt. He attends the Young Adults Group on Tuesday evenings, and we're very happy to be helping to lead you in worship this morning. Our first song will be Immortal Invisible, which is number 70 in your blue hymn books. Please stand to join with us.
Morning. Are we waiting for someone still? Nope. There's Nadia. Okay. Today we're going to be talking about wondering, and another word for that is faith. And I don't know if you noticed in the bulletin, but there's an announcement number two, is that Haley Vincent is going to the Philippines. And I think we should send her with the psalm that Astrid and Jacob's mom is going to be talking about this morning, that God will go with her. And one of the reasons we come to church is to be reminded that all these people go out into the world every day, not really knowing what's going to happen, but they know that all of these people are ready to help them, and to pray for them and to remind them that God is with them no matter where they go. So, I want you to think about the first day you went to school. Was that a little bit scary? Yeah, I see lots of kids on the first day of school. That's why I was asking. Usually, when they come to kindergarten, they're holding on tight to their mom's hand. Does that make you feel better when you were little? Some of you now, even, holding tight to mom's hand? Well, you must be very brave. No? Well, I still hold my mom's hand when I'm scared. So you're much braver than me. So the psalm that Astrid and Jacob's mom is going to be talking about today is talking about how God is with us all the time and we can trust him to be with us. So we'll have to think about Haley extra special when she's gone on her long trip. Can we bow for prayer? Father, sometimes we are afraid to go where we have not gone before. Help us to remember that you are with us wherever we go. Amen. And you can go to Sunday school. That's a place you've gone before.
Even as our church is a busy place, as we've already noted, we gather in this time to reflect and draw near to each other. We've come to a time now where we can share the burdens and joys of our lives with our community. A couple to note. Condolences go out to the family and friends of Martin Bergen on his passing on Tuesday, March 7th. The funeral service will take place on Thursday, March 16th, and there's more information in your bulletin. As Ingrid already noted, Haley Vincent will be traveling to Manila as part of her teaching practicum. I believe she leaves on March 22nd, and she'll be gone until the beginning of May. We also remember all those in personal care homes, hospital, and with ongoing health issues. Is there anyone else who would like to share?
Haley's not the only one that's going away. I finally got a job, so I'm going to be paying taxes now. I'm going to be starting with Intel Programmable Solutions in Toronto on April 10th.
Hi. Just want you to or ask for your prayers. We have this little window of opportunity. So Kim and I are going to visit my sister in Florida, who is also, you know, not doing so hot. So it's sort of a double-edged thing. But what I really need you to pray for is Kim and I are traveling with our own suitcases, but two huge big suitcases of stuff that she needs while we're gone. And a lot of it is fluid, you know, liquid gravel, so all the syringes and things. So pray we get through the border crossing. That's my big concern, especially now. So, yeah.
I would like to thank all the ladies that did the wonderful program in Bethania. So many of the patients really said thank you extra and enjoyed it for the Mennonite day on Thursday. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Adina Redekop. I'm asking for prayer support for my family and myself as I have to go for surgery this March. They found a polyp and the pathologists could not agree as to whether it was cancerous or not. So they are treating it as a cancer and I will have a bowel resection. So I'm not sure how long I will be in the hospital, but once again, my family is asking for prayer support, and I thank you in advance for your love and your care.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to ask as well for your prayer support for myself and for Helga. I, too, am going to be going into the hospital for some surgery in the next week or so. You're going to be seeing a lot less of me, because I'm going for weight loss surgery. I'm getting a bariatric gastric bypass, they call it, and I should be laid up for about 6 weeks, not all of it in the hospital, most of it at home. But anyways, if you guys could send a little prayer support my way just to make sure everything goes well, I certainly would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
If there are no others, before we move into prayer, we will sing a memorial hymn for Martin Bergen. Please join in singing verse 1, first in German and then English of Take Thou My Hand, O Father. It's number 581 in your blue hymnal. and stand if you're able. Please be seated. Would you bow with me in prayer? From familiar and comfortable spaces, you call us. Go. In the dead of night, when questions burn, you invite us. Come. Where there is flesh and fellowship, you beckon us. Draw near. Coming and going, gathering and parting, growing and grieving, we are so keenly aware, O God, that life does not stand still. Life moves us, life changes us, and so do you. You coax and command, you question and reckon, you do not leave us unchanged. We hold in our hearts and before you all those who are experiencing the stresses and heartaches of life's changes. Those in mourning, those without hope, those who are alone, those who are bone weary. We share the joy and offer thanksgiving along those who are braving new adventures, those who are welcoming new life, those who are affirming love, those who are striding with others towards injustice. In all of life, in all of our travels, in all of our doubts, and in all of our endeavors, as you call us and send us, welcome us and keep us. Above all else, you do not leave us. No matter the changes, you remain. We praise you, gracious God. Amen.
Our next hymn that we'll be doing is from the Blue Book, number 338. I encourage you to stand if you are able. I know not why God's wondrous love. And for those of you who have perfect pitch, we are not playing it in the key as written, but feel free to follow us for that.
Oh,
I invite you to turn once again to the insert in your bulletins for the words of confession and assurance. We will read the parts marked leader and reader. Please respond in the parts marked all. God of mystery, you call us into the unknown, but we do not always follow willingly.
We confess that we do not want to leave behind what is familiar. We prefer looking like those around us.
We do not want to change our well-refined beliefs. We prefer to think and believe in the same ways we always have.
We do not want to give up the comfort of our own self-sufficiency. We prefer to stay in control.
Forgive us, O Lord, when in our best effort to work for you, we fail to move with your spirit.
Stir us deep within. Recover a sense of your holy wonder. And make room within us for the mystery of your spirit.
God of mystery, restore us. Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over you, your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Our offertory song this morning is called Wash My Soul. It's taken straight from Psalm 51, I believe, the Lenten Psalm. It's by John Foreman.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Sacrifices of our God are a broken and a contrite heart. Against you and you alone have I sinned. The sacrifices of our God are a broken and a contrite heart. Against you and you alone have I sinned. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Wash me, wash my soul, and I will be made whole. Wash me, wash my soul, and I will be made whole. Wash me, wash my soul, and I will be made whole. Wash me, wash my soul. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation.
Morning. Today I will be reading from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
We will be singing You Are All We Have, which is the Lenten theme song. You'll find it on an insert in your bulletin. And I've been asked to pass along that when we're finished singing, please put the insert in your hymnal so that we don't have to keep reprinting it every week.
Good morning. Some people have been asking about the piece of stained glass that we've propped up here against the ladder. And I just wanted to let you know that it was my mother-in-law who made the piece. And besides being a beautiful piece of art, the geode in the center, she also picked that up when she was in Jerusalem from the desert area outside of Jerusalem. So I thought it was fitting for our Lenten season when we were trying to create our desertscape here to have an actual rock from that desert with us today. I'm going to read another passage that I said I wasn't going to spring on Megan to read this as well at the last minute. So I'm going to read from John 3 verses 1 to 17, but I might not read the whole part of that. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answers, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." We have a problem with our printer, and so I have to read this off of our iPad. And my greatest fear tonight is that I will accidentally press something and it will be gone. So this might not be as smooth as my usual deliveries of my sermon. So we wonder. I wonder what's for lunch. I wonder if I'll get a raise this year. My husband is wonderful. I live with a 4-year-old, and he does a lot of wondering. Mommy, what if your favorite tree caught fire and a family of squirrels was living in it? What would you do? Mommy, let's pretend I'm a superhero and I can shoot alligators out of my hands. Wouldn't that be wonderful? What if I grow so tall my head shoots through the roof? The wonder I want to talk about today is defined as a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, and inexplicable. Life is amazing and full of wonders. I live this idea, and not just because I live with a child, but this idea of a world full of wonders was instilled in me at a very young age. I can remember my mother waking me up to go outside in the middle of the night. Now, to be fair to my mother, it was probably closer to 10 p.m. than to 1 p.m., but in my child's view, it was always the middle of the night. So she woke me up in the middle of the night to look at the northern lights, to marvel at their beauty. And she would usually say something like, "Dies hat Gott für uns gemacht. God has made this for us." Small miracles of wonder were and are always happening. You just have to look out for them. Finding wonder in nature, in the natural world, is easy. I'm constantly pointing out beautiful sunsets or asking my kids to be quiet so we can listen to the birds singing. The color of the sky in the evening, the birds singing in the trees, or the bud of a leaf appearing on a tree after the cold winter. Nature is practically shouting the wonders of God at us. Look at our bodies, the delicate and fragile, but somehow amazingly resilient systems of our bodies working together to allow us to create thoughts and music and art. In John 3, Nicodemus wonders about what Jesus says about being born again. Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having been grown old? Can anyone enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Now, that would be a wonder no mother would want to have happen. And I have to think that Nicodemus might not have been the brightest candle in the bunch for having said that. But what Jesus is talking about is spiritual rebirth. Jesus is talking about belief. Jesus is talking about having faith in spite of what we may think we know. In Romans 4, Paul talks about the faith of Abraham. And when God told Abraham to go, he went. He had belief that God would not lead him astray. And it was through Abraham's faith that he was justified, not through his following of the law. Romans 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who without works trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness." And this is the great mystery we can't quite get, that God's love is a gift freely given, a gift we cannot earn. We are not due to receive God's love and grace because of our works, but in spite of them. God is not keeping track and doling out his love accordingly. Nothing you can do can get you more love from God, because God has already given you all he has. He is 100% committed to you. Now, some people really like facts. They like nice, straightforward, provable things. Me, not so much. Don't get me wrong, facts are great. We need facts, especially when dealing with our elected officials. But I have never let the facts get in the way of a good story. Some people might call me a liar, but I prefer to think of myself as a storyteller. Some facts are easy to prove and therefore easy to believe. We can know facts about God, but there is a mystery as well. Things we have to take on faith. Facts can be used to bolster our faith, but they shouldn't get in the way of it. Faith, belief in spite of facts, is what God is asking of us. Belief is what makes us all Christian. Believers, not doubters or skeptics or questioners. Believers. That is not to say we shouldn't question, that we shouldn't wonder. That's what makes us human. But we shouldn't let ourselves be led astray by easy beliefs. Franz talked last week about listening versus obeying, and I think this week it's knowing versus believing. I have a little story that illustrates the difference between knowing and believing very well. I shared this story in a sermon I gave in 2010, so if you remember that sermon, you can just rest your eyes for a while. So this is a story that Ken Davis wrote in his book, How to Speak to Youth. This is not me speaking. When I asked Phil to proofread my sermon, he assumed this was my story, and it came back with a nice note that said, alternative facts. If you follow anything going on in the media today, you'll know what I'm talking about. So this is not my personal story. In college, I was asked to prepare a lesson to teach my speech class. We were to be graded on creativity and the ability to drive home a point in a memorable way. The title of my talk was The Law of the Pendulum. I spent 20 minutes carefully teaching the physical principle that governs a swinging pendulum. The law of the pendulum is a pendulum can never return to a point higher than the point from which it was released. Because of friction and gravity, when the pendulum returns, it will fall short of its original release point. Each time it swings, it makes less and less of an arc until finally it's at rest. This point of rest is called the state of equilibrium, where all forces acting on the pendulum are equal. I attached a 3-foot string to a child's toy top and secured it to the top of the blackboard with a thumbtack. I pulled the top to one side and made a mark on the blackboard where I let it go. Each time it swung back, I made a new mark. It took less than a minute for the top to complete its swinging and come to rest. When I finished the demonstration, the markings on the blackboard proved my thesis. Then I asked how many people in the room believed the law of the pendulum was true. All of my classmates raised their hands, so did the teacher. He started to walk to the front of the room, thinking the class was over. In reality, it had just begun. Hanging from the steel ceiling beams in the middle of the room was a large, crude but functional, 250-pound pendulum. 250 pounds of metal weights tied to 4 strands of 500-pound test parachute cord. I invited the instructor to climb on top of a chair set on a table with his head to the back of against a cement wall. Then I brought the 250 pounds of metal up close to his nose. Holding the huge pendulum just a fraction of an inch from his face, I once again explained the law of the pendulum. He had applauded it only moments before. If the law of the pendulum is true, then when I release this mass of metal, it will swing across the room and return short of the release point. Your nose will be in no danger. After that final restatement of this law, I looked him in the eye and asked, "Sir, do you believe this law is true?" There was a long pause. Huge beads of sweat formed on his upper lip, and weakly he nodded and whispered, "Yes." I released the pendulum. It made a swishing sound as it arced across the room. At the far end of its swing, it paused momentarily and then started back. I have never seen a man move so fast in my life. He literally dived from the table. Deftly stepping around the still-swinging pendulum, I asked the class, "Does he believe in the law of the pendulum?" The students unanimously answered, "No." The teacher knew the law of the pendulum. He had the knowledge of it. He knew it was true, but when push came to shove, he didn't really believe it. He didn't trust that what he knew to be true was actually true. He was like a person who says they believe in God, but nothing in their life reflects that belief. We believe, and yet we can't help but wonder, does God really talk to us? Can we see God? Does God hear our prayers? Why does God care? These questions are often asked by people who are cut off from God by their inability to trust in what they can't see and believe in what they can't hear. The answers are yes, 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 and because he loves us. God is a mystery, yet we know him. He is our shade from the hot sun and our protection in the night. He keeps us from evil, and in his watchfulness, he will never sleep. He keeps his gaze turned always in our direction. When my niece was born at 26 weeks, we weren't sure she would make it. But she pulled through the first few rough days, and soon it was time for her to go home from the hospital. In order for her to go home, she had to go 24 hours without forgetting to breathe, and the machine doing it for her. Just the thought that one day ago her little body had forgotten to take a breath terrified my brother and sister-in-law. My brother felt the need to watch over her constantly. How could he sleep? What if she forgot to breathe again? So for about 3 days, my brother didn't sleep. They had another child that needed caring for too, and my brother realized he could not keep this up. So on the fourth night, he turned his fears and worries over to God and went to sleep. And I'm happy to report my niece is now a healthy, thriving 11-year-old. My brother, as much as he loves his child, is a mortal being and needs to sleep. There are limits to what he can do in his love. In John 3, verses 16 and 17, Jesus reveals the most wonderful thing about God to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God's love is a wondrous mystery. We can do nothing to earn it, and we can do nothing to lose it. It's like the love of a parent, but perfect. We have limits on our love, even with our children. God has no limits. God is limitless, and God's love is limitless. Some people may ask, how do you know God exists? Gott hat dies für uns gemacht. God has made this wonderful world for us. But how do we know God loves us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Prove that Jesus really died for our sins. I don't need to prove it because I believe it. God calls us, like he called Abraham, to journey with him in faith and love and wonder. We trust in God to lead us. The journey will not be easy. We will doubt and we will be tempted by easy answers. But when we lift our eyes to the hills, from where will our help come? Our help will come from the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth. He will not let our feet be moved. He who keeps us will not slumber or sleep. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our shade at our right hands. The sun won't strike us by day or the moon by night. The Lord will keep us from all evil. He will keep our lives. The Lord will keep our going out and our coming in from this time on and forevermore. Amen.
What a powerful word. The Lord is good and his love endures forever. Our next song we'll be doing is in the Blue Hymnal, number 530, What Wondrous Love Is This? Please feel free to stand as you're able.
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul to
standing if you're able for the benediction and the song to follow. Full of wonder, full of curiosity, full of inquisitiveness, go trusting that God, the great mystery, goes with you always. Amen.
So this is a new song that I think probably most of you haven't heard but know the words. Feel free to participate as you feel comfortable. It's fairly repetitive, so you should be able to catch on pretty quick. It's called Christ Before Me.
Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me and below. Christ beside me, Christ within me, Christ around me where'er I go. Everything is sacred, everything is blessed, everyone made worthy to find their holy rest. Everyone belongs here, everyone is loved, every life that's failing, grace will lift above. Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ beside you and below. Christ beside you, Christ within you, Christ around you wherever you go. Everything is sacred, everything is blessed, everyone made worthy to find their holy rest. Everyone belongs here, everyone is loved, every life that's failing, grace will lift above.
Christ within me, Christ around me.